It's a Friday edition of Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Bo Brock. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Bob Rack. Follow my co-host, Alex Clancy, who you can hear on this podcast Tuesdays and Thursdays at Clancy's Corner. We appreciate all you guys. We appreciate the follows. We appreciate the interaction. I'm going to get into some of the Twitter interaction that we've had recently later on in this show. Also coming up on this edition of Locked On Cardinals, how we're going to identify the top offensive tackle in the 2020 NFL draft, because that seems like that's going to be the pick for the Arizona Cardinals 8th overall, right? How do you decide between talents like Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills, Mekhi Becton, and Andrew Thomas? We're going to start to get into that conversation. It's going to be big, and you're going to see a lot of the draft analysts and experts, their opinions vary from prospect to prospect. Also, I see a lot of teams upgrading out of position that was a weakness for the Arizona Cardinals in 2019. And I want to kind of get into what the team's potential plan is for that position in particular. We'll get into that later in this podcast. An Arizona Cardinals star believes the team is on an eerily similar path as a recent Super Bowl winner. That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm your host, Bo Brock. Arizona Cardinals star linebacker Jordan Hicks, the team's leading tackler last season, says the Cards are, quote, on an eerily similar path as the Philadelphia Eagles were, from a sub-500 team in 2016 to Super Bowl champions the next season. Now, Hicks, he was on both of those teams from 16 to 17. He missed the bulk of the Super Bowl season. He was on injured reserve, but he saw it happen in front of his own eyes. He was part of the process. Is Hicks on to something? Can the Arizona Cardinals duplicate the magic that the Philadelphia Eagles had between 2016 and 2017, between 2019 and 2020? Let's talk about the eerie similarities Hicks had mentioned. Both teams, they were sub-500. The Cardinals, 5 wins in 2019. The Eagles, 7 wins in 2016. Both teams were playing under rookie head coaches. In 16, the Eagles under Doug Peterson. Cardinals, of course, under Cliff Kingsbury, both offensive-minded ex-quarterbacks. And, of course, the quarterbacks for each team were rookie signal callers. Number 2 overall pick that the Eagles had traded up for out of North Dakota State in Carson Wentz. And, of course, the top pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Cardinals had Kyler Murray. Much like the Cardinals' current offseason, the Eagles were able to take the affordable rookie quarterback contract for Carson Wentz and surround Wentz with a ton of talent, reallocating money elsewhere. Hicks does mention that Philly's defense lacked an identity in 16, and sure, that's being kind to last season's Cardinals defense, which struggled mightily. But it's tough to duplicate what the Eagles did from 16 to 17. Sure, the Cardinals, they've got Kyler in an offense that's poised to make a significant jump in the second year. With the acquisition of DeAndre Hopkins, a consensus top 3 wide receiver, Carson Wentz went from a decent rookie year to an MVP-caliber sophomore campaign. Before injuring his knee and being lost for the season, Wentz led the Eagles to an 11-2 record while throwing for 33 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions. Something which I think Kyler is fully capable of. Similar skill set, strong arm, can make all the throws, athletic, and takes care of the football. Philly went from a middle-of-the-road offense to a top-5 offense. The rankings offensively for the 2016 Eagles is nearly identical to the 2019 Cardinals. 16th in points, 21st and 22nd in yards between the Cardinals and Eagles, respectively. You can envision the progression, can't you? It's a leap. It's possible. But the defense, that's where things get a little shady. Can the Arizona Cardinals defense make the jump necessary to help this team follow this particular blueprint? Philly in 2016 wasn't nearly as bad as Arizona in 2019. The Eagles were just outside the top 10 on defense, right around 11th and 12th as far as points and yards given up. They were top 5 defense the next season in 17, their Super Bowl year. Even with the additions of defensive tackle Jordan Phillips, pass rusher Devon Kennard, and linebacker Devondre Campbell, the Cardinals, sure, they filled some big holes and upgraded at those positions, but is it enough for the team to go from 28th in points against to dead last in yards like they did last year? Philly was as improbable as it gets. Wentz, he was lost for the season, and Nick Foles capped off the wild run through the postseason to the title, beating Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the mighty Patriots in the Super Bowl. We'd be hard-pressed if we ever saw a run like that ever again. But second-year success for quarterbacks and their teams, it's not improbable. Wentz, Jared Goff, Mitchell Trubisky, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen recently, they made jumps, and so did their teams in year two. But they all had solid defenses. The Rams, Eagles, Bears, Ravens, and Bills. As far as quarterbacks that didn't really necessarily have the benefit of a good defense, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, they all shined in their second season. Incredible performance. Mahomes, MVP. Jordan Hicks is correct in connecting the dots and pointing out the similarities. A leap like this wouldn't be unprecedented. But Hicks also points out, quote, making additions in the offseason, making big moves, showing that we're trying to win now means a lot. And it shows a lot of the mindset, not just coaching staff, but the guys upstairs. So yeah, it's eerily similar. It's exciting, man. It's a lot of fun, but there's a lot of discipline and a lot of hard work. It doesn't just happen. You've got to will it into existence. All the ingredients for the recipe for the Arizona Cardinals to go from sub 500 to playoff contender, they seem to be there. But there still needs to be upgrades made on this roster between now and the end of the offseason, and between now and whenever training camp might start for the NFL for the Arizona Cardinals. Coming up next, we're going to get into the conversation, the debate on which offensive tackle the Arizona Cardinals should have atop their draft board. I'm Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Bob Rack. It's coming up next on Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network. Now, Josh Johnson, Jack Lamar. Looking to fulfill my sports fix without live sports. That tank is kind of running on empty, but I did tune into the HBO documentary The Scheme last night. And well worth your time. If you're a follower of college hoops, if you're not all NFL, which I do understand if you're all football, I get it. But as far as just how corrupt things are, and it's not, I don't think anybody had to, you know, expand their imagination much to that they were in such disbelief when the FBI started arresting people involved in college athletics, college basketball mainly. But it's a good show. It's worthy of your watch. It's head scratching as far as the state of college athletics and who still has a job, who's spent time in the clink. Well worth your time, The Scheme on HBO. Also looking forward to the 10-part series from ESPN, and I believe 30 for 30 is attached to this, about the 90s Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. And I think it mostly is going to detail his final season with the Bulls, and that's going to be spectacular. I have no doubt in my mind. Looking forward to that. That's what we're looking forward to now. Last week at this time, I was looking forward to the release of Ozark. Basically, what I'm looking forward to is things I can put my eyeballs on and digest just watching my TV sitting on my butt, because that's the safe thing to do, right? And Alex mentioned it yesterday in a funny PSA. Alex Clancy, yes, the podcast celebrity, was asking for you to stay home and stay healthy. And that's the right thing to do. Practice your social distancing. Enjoy the small victories of new series and documentaries to binge watch. I have not watched Tiger King. I don't know. I just don't know if I want to pollute my mind just yet with that kind of content. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And our social footprint continues to expand, and we appreciate you guys out there listening, obviously following, interacting with us on Twitter, at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack, at Locked On AZ Cards, at his handles. Recently reached out, Brochacho. He reached out and said, at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack, love the podcast, guys. I know both of you are all in on Wirfs because you believe he's the best tackle. I want the best tackle, too. I don't know how to evaluate offensive line play, so I thought this video was helpful. If you can, check this out. And are you still a Wirfs greater than Wills? Check out the link below. And attached is a link from a guy named Brett. I believe his name is Brett Coleman. I don't know his credentials. I don't know if he's got a scouting background. He put in an in-depth about, it's under 20-minute video, breaking down the difference between Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa and Jedrick Wills out of Alabama. And I'm right here with at his handles on Twitter, at Brochacho. as far as evaluating the offensive line position in particular. I have no scouting background. I'm in the opinion business. I'm a fan much like you guys. I see it how most of you see it. I'm not really sitting there breaking down technique. I'm just a dude like anybody else, right? Throughout the offseason, even I've had the Arizona Cardinals selecting three different offensive tackles. When I've participated in mock drafts, when I've given my opinion on this podcast at differing times, I've had the Arizona Cardinals selecting Mekhi Becton. I've had them selecting Jedrick Wills. I've had them selecting Tristan Wirfs. There's a very good chance, depending on how the quarterbacks fall in front of the Arizona Cardinals, that they're going to have the pick of this talented crop of offensive tackles. And at worst, they'll have the second offensive tackle off the board. And I think I need to drive this point home that it's not my opinion. It's Steve Keim and his scouts. They need to be convicted in their selection, not mine. As far as where I stand on this, I don't think I've ever, you know, taken a Sharpie out and put Wirfs atop the tackles as far as this draft goes. And as I said, it's been playing musical chairs as far as my opinion goes. Mekhi Becton, his performance at the Combine, Wirfs' performance at the Combine, Wills was a little bit quieter, but still a solid performance. And then Andrew Thomas, who at one point was the top tackle in this draft before the end of the college football season, he's since kind of fallen out of favor, but still could be an option if the Cardinals, you know, want to trade down. And Thomas is the bottom of this group of tackles. And I think that's more consensus than anything else as far as who's atop this. Wills is emerging as the top candidate. And as far as the video we watched, it proves that. Brett Coleman breaks it down. Lance Zierlein, who does mock drafts and draft analyst analysis for the NFL media and NFLnetwork.com, he's got Jedrick Wills out of Alabama as his top tackle, Mekhi Becton number two, and then Thomas and Wirfs tied for third. Joe Marino of the Draft Network has it as this: Wills, Thomas, Wirfs, Becton. Todd McShay of ESPN has it Wills, Thomas, Wirfs, Becton, and Mel Kiper has it Becton, Wills, Wirfs, Thomas. It's wild, right? I mean, and as far as what you want from a tackle, between scouts' opinions, analysts' opinions, it's going to vary. But as I've said, it's going to come down to Steve Keim and his scouts, and they've got to be convicted in their selection. And as far as Wills, I've also pointed out the Wills, as far as the Arizona Cardinals situation in particular, Wills' experience playing the right side of the offensive line means something. Because Tua, because he was a left-handed quarterback, it was important for him to protect his blind side, which is non-traditional for the most part, because it's the right tackle position instead of left tackle. Because at the NFL level, I don't even think there was one. Was there any left-handed quarterbacks last year in the NFL? I'm thinking back. I don't think so. There's usually maybe one or two, you know. Obviously, famously, it's you know, Steve Young was a lefty, and you had Mark Brunell was a famous lefty. There was, you know, Michael Vick was left-handed. But for the most part, your quarterback's right-handed, so you're protecting their blind side with the left tackle position. At Alabama, Jedrick Wills was the premier tackle on that team. He just played right tackle. So he knows how to get into that stance. He knows how to, you know, diagnose an opposing defense and their pass rush from that side of the defense. From that side of the offense. And I think that gives him a little bit of an edge. But as far as the athleticism, as far as the size that you're looking for, Tristan Wirfs comes from just a program that just churns out offensive lineman talent. But as far as, I don't want to, you know, crush myself too much, but as far as me in the talent evaluation, especially the offensive line, just take it with a grain of salt. Like I said, I'm in the opinion business more so. But the Arizona Cardinals, as far as I'm concerned, when you look at where they need to upgrade, and where that eighth overall pick, what they need to do with that selection in order to bolster their roster as a whole, it's addressing the offensive line. Eighth overall, not later in the draft, not in the third round, not in the fourth round, not any later than eighth overall. Because when you look at this, and I know that you've got players potentially in Jeffrey Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, Derek Brown, that are on the defensive side of the football, and we talked just last segment about how the Arizona Cardinals, the difference between them potentially and the Eagles and the jump they made from 16 to 17. And, you know, the Rams and their jump from Jared Goff's first year to the second year and, you know, the Bills, and it goes on, is the defense and how the defense have played that season. But as far as where you're going to invest your money and your draft capital, the wisest pick, especially given what the offensive tackle crop looks like, controllable years at the price that they can get and the position of need that they have. Offensive line is no doubt the position that they have to go eighth overall. No doubt about it. Next week, we're going to get into that pick and the positions of need for the Arizona Cardinals and the draft prospects that can fill those needs. Because as of yesterday, Thursday, April 2nd, we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. And that's got to get you pretty excited, right? I mean, as I talked about, you know, trying to fill your time without sports, the NFL draft is going to be, oh, I love the NFL draft already, but this is going to be just breath of fresh air during these trying times. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Bo Brack. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Bob Brack. So many teams are upgrading at a position that was a weakness for the Cardinals last season. And I kind of want to look in a little bit before we get out of here about what the team's plan is in 2020. We'll get into that next. Locked On Cardinals, part of your... We have some pretty exciting news. Next week, we will have crossover podcast, not within the podcast network, not our great Locked On podcast network, but we're going to cross over with another Arizona Cardinals podcast. We'll have more details on our Twitter account at Locked On AZ Cards and our personal accounts at Clancy's Corner at Bob Rack. Can't wait to tell you about that. I would tell you right now, but I don't know if I have the okay to do it. So look for that on social media. We appreciate you guys tuning in. As I encourage you, hit us up on Twitter. We will respond. We appreciate everybody chiming in here and there. So one last thing I want to get to before the end of this week. Oh, and next week also I'm going to debut a new segment. It's going to be called What Clancy Got Wrong. And it's maybe it's What Clancy Got Wrong Wednesday, because he always comes out of the gates on Tuesday with some pretty ludicrous takes. And I want to get into that. What Clancy Got Wrong Wednesdays will debut next week, later in the week. So yesterday, the Las Vegas Raiders, there's my first slip of 2020 as far as the Raiders are concerned, as they make the move from Oakland to Sin City. The Raiders deal with Eli Apple fell through. So they turned around and they signed former Arizona State star, former first round pick from the Green Bay Packers, played for the Browns recently, Demarius Randall, to a deal. So Apple's deal fell through. When you start looking at the cornerback position, the market seems to be down on corners. And I believe it was Bill Barnwell today in ESPN on ESPN.com that kind of breaks it down. And Byron Jones got a huge deal with the Miami Dolphins to go from Dallas to Miami. And then you saw Chris Harris Jr., who's getting up there. He's past the age of 30. He was a Pro Bowler as recently as 2018, and he got $9.5 million guaranteed as part of a two-year $17 million deal. That's a big deal. But then you see trades like Darius Slay, who's a top corner for Detroit, and he goes from Detroit to Philly, and the Eagles gave up a third and fifth round picks to acquire Slay. Now, the Cardinals have already given up a second, and they got a fourth back, but also giving up a 2021 fourth-round pick in the DeAndre Hopkins deal. That would have just, you know, crippled their draft. They're giving up two more picks You got Quentin Dunbar going from Washington to the Seattle Seahawks for just a fifth-round pick. And then you're seeing these kind of bargain deals. You know, I'm sure Eli Apple, I'm sure Darius Randall, they're not commanding huge contracts. I mean, you saw Kendall Fuller get a big deal from Washington, 4 years, $40 million. But for the most part, you can find guys like Darqueez Dennard, former first-round pick for Cincinnati, Bashaud Breeland, P.J. Williams, Prince Amukamara, Drake Kirkpatrick. They're all available, and they're all for pretty low prices. But then you think maybe the Arizona Cardinals feel like they're not going to be upgrades to Robert Alford, who they signed last offseason after he was released by the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe they feel like he's going to, with getting a mulligan on missing all of 2019, he can get back to playing at the level he played for in Atlanta for so many seasons. You've got Byron Murphy coming into his second season after a pretty trying rookie year, but here's a rookie who just played at a high level in the Pac-12, was thrown to the NFL, and he's having to cover, you know, Seattle Seahawks, Los Angeles Rams, San Francisco 49ers, wide receivers each and every other week. So the Arizona Cardinals' plan, it seems like, is to develop their cornerback position, their defensive secondary, and with the idea that Patrick Peterson knocked the rust off by the end of last year and coming back and ready to start 2020 and regain his Pro Bowl form. And that's fine, but a lot has to go right. Like, Alford has to come back and he has to be playing at the level he was, and Murphy needs to develop. And then the back end of that secondary, Deontay Thompson, Jalen Thompson, Buda Baker need to continue to develop in the at the safety position. And that's very possible. But it is interesting, and you do when you see another corner, and some of us forget who's available, and you'll see them sign or get traded from one team to another, and sometimes it's within the division in the case of Dunbar, and you're like, holy crap, he was available for that, not that much? That's a position of need for the Arizona Cardinals. What are they doing? It sounds like they're going to stick with the status quo, as Patrick Peterson had kind of requested this earlier this offseason during, I think, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, that he wants the status quo, these young players to develop, him to get back into the fold for 16 games. And he thinks that the Arizona Cardinals will be all right. The key here is, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are going to need to get that pressure up front. I mean, beyond Chandler Jones, they don't get that. And it's only going to make the defensive secondary and their jobs better or easier if they can get a pass rush. And they brought in Kennard and they brought in Phillips, and that's, what, 16-plus sacks that you're adding to your defense. That's, you know, I know there's arguments made against Phillips because outside of his 9.5 sacks from the interior defensive line, his impact was minimal beyond that. So the Arizona Cardinals, for me, just trying to diagnose what Steve Keim's plan is, it looks like that's what it is. Maybe they can add another veteran corner between now and training camp, but it doesn't look like they're going to be on any other, you know, names between now and then. That's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Bo Brock. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Bob Brack. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. Stay healthy, stay safe, have a great weekend. I'll see you guys on Monday. Look for the big announcement on social media, at Locked On AZ Cards, at Bob Brack, at Clancy's Corner. Have a great one.